It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Let's get this week started. Steve Kerr, 45 minutes. Welcome back, dude.
Hey, thank you. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
You look clean. I mean, there were a few text messages. I don't know. I don't know. Well, I stopped listening because they weren't hitting.
The
system was working before you left.
Yeah.
And then the system stopped working, so I'm just
Led
like.
Led Zeppelin has a song, Good Times, Bad Times.
Yeah.
I know I've had my share.
That's right.
And, you know, Thursday was bad.
I ain't mad at
Friday
you.
Friday was better. Saturday was good until St. Mary's, Alabama. First half under. St. Mary's with a foul with 1.1 to go unnecessarily. Like, can we not foul? And that's just a classic. And I love Randy Bennett and I respect the program, but you go up against a team like that, and that's where, and I'll just do 30 seconds on the tournament. The tournament may be over as we know it. Cinderella is dead. The glass slipper has broken.
I know that's
she
everybody's take.
She stepped on it. She tore her Achilles.
I don't buy
and
it.
And her foot is bloody.
I don't buy it. I don't really think that should be something people worry about.
I'm not worried about it, but the whole idea of like
everybody wants upsets and Cinderellas.
Right,
I'm like, I don't.
Buster.
I want good games in the second week. Give me the good teams.
Right.
Like, that's fun that McNeese State has this cool boombox guy named Aura. You know what wasn't cool? Their effort in their second game. You sucked. You got blown off the floor.
Right.
Give me good teams. I want the good teams there in the end.
Well, and I wonder about the ratings for these good teams on Thursday and Friday, because most of us don't know, like, the leading score on Tennessee and who's Florida's best player.
I don't know anything about any of them.
Cooper Flagg.
Period.
If you watch Duke and you watched him, the dude can play. Left hand, right hand.
Yeah, you can play.
Scored all three levels, whatever you want to say. And there are other players. Mark Sears at Alabama, the best point guard in the country and all the rest of it. But I wonder if the general audience is going to be drawn to what we have, which is it's basically the SEC tournament.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, good to be back.
And I trust that you had a good time.
I had a good time.
Okay, yeah. Even though the pockets came back a little lighter.
You couldn't hear that I was having a good time?
Oh, yeah, but that was only a couple hours in. That's like having a 10-point lead in the first quarter and then not checking to see if you held it.
Well,
I don't know where it ended up.
The beauty of my trip is I don't tether my joy to my pockets.
Beautiful, then you're good.
It's nice to get on the plane and look and go, damn, I did well.
Yeah.
And then this time it was like, yeah, not so great, but boy, did we have fun.
I think it's nice to get on the plane and look around and be like, I don't know any of you. This is perfect.
Well, and I bumped into Mike Silver in the...
Oh, did you really?
So, just quick story. I'm walking through the Vegas airport, and I'm not quite ready to come home. And I look over, and I think it's Mike Silver. So I do a double take, and then I stop in my tracks, and I say, Mike! And he snaps his head up, because it was him.
Oh, he tried to draw the foul.
Well, he didn't... I was a little aggressive, and so we spent about 2 minutes of like, how you doing? And he's like, sorry, I'm in a little bit of Vegas zombie mode. And I said, not me, Mick. Anyway. It's just one of those fun like airport moments.
Anyhow. Yeah, Steve Kerr in 42 minutes. We will ask him about Kaminga and a bunch of other Warriors too, because that's the job and that's what we're going to do. Look, I get that for some reason, some are evident and some are not, a number of reasons, this player has become the centerpiece lightning rod to the whole thing. And what I want to say today is that it should not be that. It should not be that. We can get to anything that we and you want with regard to whatever anybody wants to say, because what you want to say is welcome here. That's true for me, for Dibs, for you, 888-957-9570. If you have something you want to say, then that is welcome here. With all of that said, I don't want to tell anybody today that JK is good at this and not good at that. I think we can fill those blanks in. Been true for a long time. It's a little bit more intricate than that. Here's what I want to say. I feel like in some way, shape, or form, this conversation is arriving at a spot where we're losing a grip on Warrior basketball. Warrior basketball. That's what this is about. And so I am fully prepared as a fan for the Warriors to play basketball games in which Jonathan Kuminga plays less than 20 minutes if that's what it takes. The same way, I am fully prepared for Jonathan Kuminga to play 35 minutes if that's what it takes. What I don't want to see the Warriors do is play Jonathan Kuminga because they're supposed to. I want this to be a full-blown meritocracy. There are very few games left. They are very important. The Warriors need to win them. And damn it, this has got to stop being about whether JK looked good in the 6th minute, and then how did he look in the 18th minute. Now what's happening in the 3rd quarter? Now we're, oh wait, Steve Kerr hates young people. Here we go. Dummy, you got to stick him out there and let him cook so he can take you 2 months from now to the prom. Stop. This game has got to be won, period. That's what the Warriors need to do when they play. You have to win that game. And if Jonathan is not doing what Coach Kerr thinks he needs to be doing in that given moment, then he sits. And if he is, then he stays. And that's true for a lot of the players. I am fully prepared for Jonathan Kuminga, because I would say this like period of, well, let's see how he's fitting in. I would say there's very little time for that left. How was he played? How many games now are we at?
I think seven?
Six. 6 or 7?
Yep.
Yeah.
It like, is six.
Okay.
6 games.
Yeah. You either 2 or 3 more.
Right.
And off we ride, getting your playoff rotation ready, provided that you are still ticketed for the playoffs in some form. I am prepared for him to play fewer minutes if he doesn't earn more. I don't want him to play just because of his name.
And he won't. And that's what you saw on Saturday, where I don't think that he played that well. In the first half, he was scoring. He was doing pretty well, but he was not defending, and no one was defending. So I'm not going to single him out and say he was the reason why they gave up 40 points in the first quarter. Although, when he came in, the defense didn't get better. And I thought in that stint in the third quarter, when he came off the bench, he was mostly disinterested. He was not impactful. How do you go an entire 22 minutes of basketball and not commit a foul and only get two rebounds? That tells me that you are not in the mix, and you're 6'8", you're a leaper, and you're playing on a team that needs all of that and more. They need somebody to get on the floor. They need somebody to be an aggressive defender. They need somebody to go up there and rebound the basketball, and he didn't do that. And so he didn't play in the fourth quarter. So I think that Steve Kerr is right with you as far as, you know, you're not going to give him a scholarship because it's a contract year and Kuminga's only got 11 more games and he needs this and he needs that and we need to see what we need to see. You need to win games. And I don't know if you're going to win on Saturday anyway. You made a good point about that. Like, when you tuned in 3 minutes in and you're like, oh boy.
I just had a feeling going. I had a bad feeling about that game on Saturday.
Bad spot. Yeah. Long homestand. You did well. You go all the way cross country. Atlanta had been waiting. And Atlanta has been playing pretty well, actually, since Risa Shea has been playing better basketball and Trae Young is shooting it better. And so I do think that Atlanta is quietly a little bit of a tough matchup for the Warriors anyway. So, yes, you're not going to get into a spot where Kuminga is going to get scholarship minutes, but you do still, I think that when he's playing his best, you need him. He gives you something that you don't have elsewhere.
Yeah, maybe.
When he's playing well.
Right. Kind of true about all of them.
But he's been playing well, I think, in these six games. You could look at him and say, you know, four of the six, he's playing well.
Yeah, he's had some moments. I don't think any of the games, other than the first one, he's either looked some good and some bad in all of them.
Yeah.
I thought in the first one he looked all good. And ever since that, it's been some good and some bad. Some good moments, some bad moments. I'm not here to kill the kid. I don't think that he's awful at basketball. I don't think the Warriors need to trade him or it's none of that at this point. Like, this is just kind of how I look at the end of seasons. It doesn't matter what sport it is. Where are they right now? 11 games left?
Yep.
Okay. I don't care what your name is. If you play well, you stay in the game. If you are not playing with heart and with energy and with drive, there's a spot for you next to the coach. That's how basketball works. Baseball, football, and life.
Life.
Period.
Yeah, speak on it.
So, like, I struggle with the idea that Jonathan is different. It's funny. When you say, hey, you know, JK is held to a different standard, I could argue that in both directions. Both directions. Like, as in JK needs to be a star to stay on the floor. Well, I would argue that some of you feel like JK should be in the game no matter what just because he's JK and he can jump. Like, I don't think that either. Let's hold all of them to the same standard except for the set-asides, Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, and Draymond Green. Those are future Hall of Famers. They're different. They're different. But outside of that, the rest of you are here to help. And if you're helping, you get more. And if you're not helping, you get less. And so I am fully prepared for Jonathan Kuminga to either, like, really step into this and do well down the stretch, or I am prepared for Jonathan Kuminga to get a big old heaping helping of Tim Lincecum and Pablo Sandoval, which is if you get to the end and you're not in the right spot, you watch. Sit and watch. I mean, honestly, if I don't know where Steve is exactly on this. I have no idea. But there are moments, if you're not going to be an all-around player, if you're not going to defend and you're not going to rebound, hell, I don't care if he gets a DNP. I do not care.
Yeah, I doubt he ever
gets a DNP. I doubt it. I'm not suggesting that.
I get it.
I'm suggesting that the Warriors need to win the game.
Of course.
Every night, period.
And I do think that's why he didn't play in the fourth quarter against Atlanta, because he didn't play great in the third, and so they wanted to win the game. They're not trying to just give him 25 or 28 minutes just so that he can stretch his legs out and feel good and play basketball. They're trying to win all these games. And Saturday was a bad mix where you didn't really have other people who were playing well anyway, and so you went with a different group, and Kuminga didn't contribute, and you lost.
All right, we'll let you hear what Steve had to say about this, and then Steve's going to say more about this in 34 minutes because he can be right here live on the air. Okay? Dibs is back. We're taking your phone calls. 888-957-9570 is the number. And sure, what is it you want to see the Warriors do going forward about Jonathan Kuminga, his minutes, his style, whatever it is you want to say? And obviously, we can take that to other members of the team, too. That's kind of the whole point. So we'll take your phone calls next. Steve Kerr in a half hour. Glad you're all with us. We're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. And
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
This is Weather to Dips. Here's one thing that maybe is a little bit intricate that I'd love to throw out there at you. Sometimes, there's a bunch of examples of this in various sports in just recent years. Sometimes, the player that you can't see coming still matters. Sometimes, the player who, when you look at him, you're like, well, that's nowhere near as good of an athlete as this guy over here.
Yeah, Juwan Jennings.
Okay.
He was going to be Super Bowl MVP.
Well, how about Brock Purdy versus Trey Lance? One of them is like, whoa, that's an athletic freak. And the other one is a rosy-cheeked kid playing in Iowa who threw too many interceptions and he's short. Well, which one is the one who actually matters in the NFL? And then I'll give you another name. For those of you who hate Steve Kerr, I remember we were here. We were here doing this show. With all the people going, can you believe that this guy keeps putting Ty freaking Jerome in the game?
Ty Jerome. That's your thing.
Has anybody checked in
on
Ty Jerome? Phenomenal bench player for the Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm. Good little team.
Like, not overstating it when I use the word phenomenal. So when you look at Jonathan Kuminga, seventh pick in the draft, athletic freak, and you go, you're going to play pods over this guy or whatever, Moody, whoever, Guy Santos doesn't have the talent. I don't care who has what measurable. I am looking at the final score on the scoreboard, and I want to know how smart people think you're going to get to the end of the game with a bigger number next to your name than the number that's next to the other team. That is literally the only question we should be asking, especially at this time of year. So that's just the portion of this that I kind of want to reject. I don't care where anyone was drafted. I don't care what their vertical leap is. I don't care, don't care, don't care. I am fully prepared for any Warrior to sit if it does not appear that that Warrior is pushing the scoreboard higher than another player. That's it.
And I do think that that's what Steve Kerr would tell you in an honest moment. And he's not going to say that today at 3 o'clock. He's going to talk about, you know, J.K. coming back and what he needs J.K. to do and how the rotation will continue to evolve. Because we're going to ask him about Gi, because he said just a couple of weeks ago, well, I got to play Gi Santos. And then on Saturday, he played Gi Santos 4 minutes. Yeah. So that feels to me a little bit like, do you really need to play Gi Santos? Because, I mean, Gi is a glue guy, and you could have used a little bit of that hustle and flow on Saturday, and yet he played 4 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm sure he had his reasons for that. Like, I didn't watch the 4 minutes closely enough to know exactly what Gi was doing that night. But here's the comment you're referencing, and it came post-game after that nice win over the Pistons that was like two and a half weeks ago.
It's a really difficult thing when you are playing really well and then you have a key guy coming back. And it's always tough. So I think the idea is just bring him along slowly, you know, play him in short bursts, help him get his rhythm back. But, you know, we've got to keep playing Gi Santos. You know, we've got to keep playing the guys who are helping us win right now. And so usually this stuff has to kind of play out. And so we'll hope that it plays out.
We've got to keep playing Gi Santos. And now he's not playing Gi Santos.
4.5 minutes minus 13. So
right.
And I know it's small sample, really small sample, but in his first 2 minute stint, he was a minus six, and then he put him in for 2 more minutes in the third quarter and he was a minus seven. Maybe it's a combo thing where, you know, Gi was out there with guys that it wasn't gonna work with Gi. And I know that you can look at that and Kuminga minus 18 in 22 minutes. They almost all were a minus, except Jimmy Butler, who was a plus 11 in almost the entire game that he played. He was a plus 11 in 38 minutes, and the team was, you know, what, a minus 20 without him in 10 minutes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That says a lot right there.
It says a lot about Jimmy being the dude when Steph is out. So you could, you know, pick and pop everyone else who played. Quentin Post actually shot it great.
Wow.
And Moses continues to be a dude, 35 minutes for Moses?
Yeah, so here's the concerning thing Saturday, if you want to, and I don't like doing this for two reasons. One, you're whittling it down to one game and one performance. And two, I do hear some people say, well, we were playing well, and then JK came back, and now we're not playing well. That's unfair. To me, that's unfair.
They're 4-2.
Right. But either way, it's unfair to pin it all on one guy. But if you want to actually take the conversation deeper, here's what would concern me about the Jonathan Kuminga experience specific to Saturday is what you just said. Like a lot of people, when Steph got hurt, did that whole like, ooh, blessing in disguise. And Grandy and I were like, we reject that. Because like, ooh, now he's going to get some extra rest. And we're like, no, you need your stars. Jimmy Butler was here to play all of the non-Steph minutes. So now when all of the minutes become non-Steph minutes, then you get some non-Jimmy minutes, and how are you doing? And I know there are a lot of people out there who have at least hoped that that's when Jonathan can be like, let me take you for 7 minutes, and I'll be your dog. And I'm sorry, how did they do without Jimmy? You said minus what?
Well, they were plus 11 with him in 37 and a half minutes.
Okay.
So 11 and a half minutes without him. They lost the game by 9, so that means they were minus 20.
There you go.
Minus 20 in 11 minutes, and a lot of that was in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy sat for 4.5 minutes, and I'm looking at the first quarter stats, and Pods in the first quarter was a minus 18. Kuminga minus 14. Moody and Quentin and Draymond minus 12.
Right, so that's not on Jonathan.
Jimmy was a minus two.
Right. The to me, what that says is you need both of your dogs, period. Like the Warriors, when Jimmy and Steph aren't on the floor, are not a playoff team. And that's not some hot take by any stretch. But, like, that's the thing that I think we've been debating about Jonathan all along, and I'm not going to whittle it down to one night and 11 minutes of action.
Yeah.
But that's what you're hoping Jonathan can do, and it seems like many people think he can do, and he did not. He unequivocally did not on that particular night, which is, can you even moonlight as a one for 10 minutes? Well, not that night. not that night. And that's the part that I think is, I don't know if it's frustrating, because I actually think it's kind of predictable. But that's what you're hoping for him to develop into, and he hasn't yet.
Right, and I mean, you could look at the second quarter where he actually kind of morphed into that. Offensively, he was great. He was the one in the second quarter, and you got to the break, and you were down 12, and you were kind of back in it. And then for me, it's really the third quarter where he came out, and he was just, not only was he tentative, 0 for 3, but one rebound, no fouls, couldn't guard anyone, didn't look that interested in guarding, and the third quarter is what swung the game, because you had a chance to climb back in it, you didn't, and you wound up with, you know, JK not being able to play in the fourth quarter.
Steve Kerr in 20 minutes, let's go to the phones. Kevin in Fremont. Hi, Kevin, thank you for calling Willard and Dibbs. What's up?
Yeah, not too much. My main thing with Kuminga, or anybody who plays a power forward position, I just, long-term, Kuminga probably isn't a fit here. But even for this year, if he wants playing time, power forwards, I mean, it's been a while. I grew up with Larry Smith being the power forward at one point for the Warriors. And so my only point to, if you're going to play the power forward on any team, but the Warriors specifically, Kuminga needs to rebound, block shots, and if scoring would be great, but I need consistent defense, consistent rebounding, and consistent effort. And block shots are a thing. People can do it or they can't do it. But the effort has to be consistent each and every night, and the rebounding and the defense just has to be there. Scoring should be a bonus.
Kevin, thanks. I mean, I do think that I think Steve Kerr would agree with what Kevin's saying. And I also, I don't know, sometimes I wish we would apply that to everybody. Like, I will acknowledge there's a lot being asked of Jonathan Kuminga because, and this is fair, it's fair because if he's going to see himself as, you know, what he was asking for last summer, which like that max rookie contract extension or whatever, if you're going to see yourself as that kind of player, then yes, you need to perform it that kind of way. But do you notice, like, no one's asking Quentin Post to be a great defender because they literally look at him and they're like, I don't think you can.
No.
Or I don't even think you know how to right now. And so we have to decide every time he's in there, are we willing to trade off some difficulties against big players on the defensive end in order to get his three-point shooting, which is awesome on the offensive end? Okay, that's the push-pull with Quentin Post. And we do this with every single player.
Well, GP too, like on the other side. Even though he's been shooting it great of late, you have him in there to do the one thing that no one else can do, which is guard the basketball. And that's what is so frustrating watching this team is every possession on defense, if GP2's not in there, somebody gets blown by, and then it's help, 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 and then they finally get an open three, and Atlanta was hitting them.
Yep.
Atlanta was hot.
Yeah. Well, they're going to knock a lot down if they're open.
Right. Well, and if you can't stop the ball, if you can't guard the ball, and your on-ball defender gets beat, which felt like about 90% of the time, well, now you're playing 4-on-5, and all these good teams are just going to penetrate and kick, and then kick again, and you're helping, and then you buy a pump fake, and somebody's got an open three, and you're going
to
lose.
I do think that there's something to be said for this, and again, I'm not like it is not fair to suddenly say, hey, things were going really well and now they're not going as well right when Kuminga came back. It could have been any player who was going to come in and get 20-plus minutes, I think. It could have been any player. I do think, and I will ask Steve this, there's something to be said for that period of time when they were playing their best basketball of the year. I thought to a degree maybe even better than what we saw at the beginning of the year. I thought when Jimmy first arrived, and if you look at certain games, not all of them by any stretch, but there were certain games that stood out to me, that home game against Detroit. There were a couple others where I'm like, they're really playing good basketball right now. I think a lot of it was that Steve knew exactly who he had. He knew exactly what they were going to give him, and therefore he could define how he was going to approach a basketball game. And Jonathan's return makes that more complicated. And now you're stuck with, we want to get Jonathan up to speed, but we also want to keep other people in there, and then those other people are going to get fewer minutes, and then therefore they find it harder to get into their flow when they're on the court, which makes them look worse, and the whole thing just kind of comes down a notch or two. They're not playing horrible, but they've come down a notch or two. And I do wonder that if that has something to do with it.
Part of it's no Steph, obviously.
Well, that was that one game,
but,
yes.
You know, and it's also, I do think, what you're talking about. And it's like when you have a baseball team and somebody comes off the 15-day IL and you want to put them in the lineup and you want to see if they can get back to where they were, and they go 0-4, 0-4, 0-4, 0-4, 1-4, 1-5, 2-5. It's like, oh my goodness, they are 3-22 with a double and 11 strikeouts. How much longer do we continue to try to put them in the lineup to try to get them right? And that's not to say Kuminga's been that, because he has been good of his six games. There was a couple good, a couple that were, didn't really matter. And then I think Saturday was a game where he kind of reverted back to what you don't want to see from him, which is, when you're not scoring, you just completely lose sight of what you can do on the basketball team. And look at the fourth quarter. I was just looking at the stats. He played basically six guys. He played nobody. He played Moody. He played Butler. He played Draymond, all 12. Pods played 11 minutes and 10 seconds. And then you had Quentin and GP2 split, and that was it. And Buddy Hield played a minute. And he only played a minute because you needed him, somebody to come in and hit a three, which we could talk about Buddy Hield, too, if you want, about...
Go ahead.
Three shots? I'm sorry, two shots? Huh? You took two shots, Buddy. Like, where are you?
Well, I don't
that's
want
a question
him.
For Steve
Yeah,
Kerr.
I don't want him to force it. Good Lord, I don't want Buddy Hield forcing shots.
Then I don't want him to play.
Well, want him forcing shots?
Yes.
Really?
Not forcing shots.
He's terrible at forcing shots. Like, he's good at open threes. I want Buddy to shoot open threes. If they're not open, I want him to pass the ball.
Shoot your shot. It's all you got. Yeah, literally is right. The Buddy Hield like tagline.
Shoot your open shot. It's all you got.
Well.
Because that's all you got.
And I didn't do the full like 17 minutes of Buddy Hield.
He
but,
ain't creating a shot.
No, but I would imagine he had more than two open shots that he could have taken.
I mean, yeah, I would have to. Yeah.
I'd have to look at the whole thing again from my Buddy lens. But
whatever the all 22 version is in the basketball,
right,
when it's a look at it. Yeah.
And maybe that's a question for Steve. Like, right. how can you have a game where Buddy only shoots it twice? If he's not going to shoot, then you don't play him. Because that literally is the only thing he does.
Yeah, I don't know.
He doesn't defend, pass, or rebound.
Right, I just think chicken or the egg there, because I don't want him putting up bad shots. I very much, like, he has been very, very clear so far this year. He's not good at shots with hands in faces or creating off of the dribble or whatever. That's not Buddy Hield's game. So I hear where you're coming from. I want him shooting, but I only want him shooting if they're open. And maybe they weren't open. You know, their number one penetrator, who then kicks to open three-point shooters, was not there that night. It wasn't even in Atlanta. So that becomes a little, I get that. That's probably Buddy Hield's best recipe with the Warriors, is to be on the floor at the same time as Steph.
Yeah, and Jimmy, sure.
Yeah, and get the open threes that are created by everybody chasing Steph all over the floor. So I think that'll change tomorrow night.
I would hope. I mean, if you have a game where Buddy Hield plays 17 minutes and takes two shots, then that to me is 17 minutes that would have been better served going elsewhere, because that's the one thing that Buddy brings. He brings the three. He's not a real good finisher. He's not a good distributor, not a good defender, not a good rebounder. So, Buddy, like, get open and shoot the three.
Right.
And somehow GP2 is able to get seven shots up. And, you know, Kuminga, 14 shots in 22 minutes. He got his. And I know he can create a lot more than Buddy can, but, you know, if Buddy's not going to shoot, then, Buddy, you can't play.
But then Kuminga did not get a lot of minutes in the second half. That got a lot of eyebrows up, and Steve Kerr was absolutely asked about it, and he gave the very quick answer, and here it is.
Yeah, J.K. did a good job in the first half, and then second half I just went with, the guys who I felt gave us the best chance.
Right.
I mean, that's a big 8 seconds right there.
Well, it's a compliment followed by a little bit of a Roger Federer,
truth,
a backhand up
yes.
the line.
No, it's truth.
Well, the real truth would be, I didn't play him after the third quarter because he wasn't very good.
I think that's what he said.
And he can't say that.
No,
yet.
But I like
he said, I went with the guys I thought gave us the best chance to win.
He was very good in the first half, and then I went with the players who gave us the best chance to win. Now, listen, that should hit Jonathan Kuminga in the gut really hard. I don't know if it did, but that should feel like an absolute right hook directly to the ribs. Because if you think about this, think about three aspects that are going on here, okay? You've played well in the first half, which means you've built up some vibe with the coach, okay? You are trailing, which means you need offense, and Steph Curry's not there. If all those three things are true and you still end up on the bench, it means you went out there and did something really, really wrong. That's how I see it.
Of course. And as I mentioned before, you look at the fourth quarter box score, Jimmy, Draymond, Moses, and Pods played the entire quarter. And I know Pods played 11 minutes and 10 seconds. Buddy played 50 seconds. But you get the point of what Steve is saying. I went with who I thought gave us the best chance to win, which was Jimmy, Draymond, and Moses the entire fourth quarter. You don't often see that at the start of a road trip where, you know, he went with the guys he thought could help him win, and it was Jimmy, Draymond, Moses, and Pods, and then a mix of Quentin and GP2.
I wonder if there's a different warrior who does not get brought up enough when this conversation invariably goes to Jonathan Kuminga, because everybody has such a strong Jonathan Kuminga opinion. And there's two names I hear that come up a lot. One is Guy Santos, because he's also a big forward, and Steve Kerr pointed him out 2 weeks ago by saying we have to keep playing Guy Santos. So I hear that name, and then I hear Pods. I hear Pods a lot because for some reason there's something that feels potentially divisive or opinionated about Pods, and he's also a recent first-round draft pick. And he does a lot of the little things that maybe people want Jonathan to do, or Steve sticks with Pods, all of that. There's a different name that really, to me, is the one who's showing the way for Jonathan Kuminga, and it's Moody. Why do you all think Moody's getting 30-plus minutes and Jonathan is not? He has no minutes restrictions. This is no longer about getting his wind or his ankle up to speed. Draymond Green spoke about this after them beating Toronto. Moses' shot has been off for a week and a half, but he doesn't come off the floor. Why is that? That dude is dialed in on defense. And I do think that that's the decoding of all of this. We can sit here and have whatever opinion we want about Jonathan Kuminga, the basketball player. I guarantee you, if that dude would slap the floor with both hands every time the other team crossed half court and absolutely maniacally put in effort on the defensive end, he wouldn't come off the floor, because that's all that Moses is doing. Moses has become maniacal on the defensive end. Is he perfect? No. Has he made huge plays on defense in multiple games? You're damn right. That man picked Cade Cunningham clean after Draymond's three against the Pistons on March 8th. And then Moses made another huge defensive play against the Raptors just last Thursday night. He is going crazy with his effort on the defensive end, and he's not coming off the floor. I don't know why all of the players don't see that and try that and do that if you're upset with your minutes.
It's just not as easy as maybe you're making it seem. And I think that Moses Moody, having more experience than Jonathan Kuminga.
It's just effort.
It's effort, yes, but it's also like understanding defense and being able to guard at the point of attack. And I think Moses is better at that than Kuminga. But you're right. A lot of it is effort, and it's attitude, and it's experience. And so Moses now, I think, has gotten a taste of the good life, which is you start and you play. And JK right now, it feels to me like he's kind of stuck in between wanting to ball out and get buckets and get the contract and really like strapping it on, lunch pail, playing the D and doing what needs to be done to play like Moses has played, which is 30 minutes a night over the last 13. He's playing starter minutes.
Huge minutes.
He starts, he plays, and last night he finished. He played the entire fourth quarter.
I don't know, man. I'm not even telling you that I see this. It just feels to me like the coaching staff, on and off, for the last couple of years has felt that what they're seeing behind the scenes, you know, I know what we see. We see that box score. We see Jonathan go to the hoop, and he gets to the free throw line, and they go in, or they don't, or they whatever. Like, that's what we watch, and we want to see what that point total is. It just feels to me like the coaching staff is seeing intermittent lack of focus on defense and rebounding for Jonathan Kuminga. And I can, if that's true, I can see why by now they would be tremendously frustrated. Because here is one thing that I think you and I actually have a little bit of a difference of opinion on. I don't really think Jonathan Kuminga is that young of a player anymore.
Right.
I understand that he's 22. I understand that he didn't play college, but I get all of those things. But if I were a coach and I were working with you every day for 4 years, and I were still sitting there looking at things not look the way I wanted them to look, I would be very frustrated by now.
I get that, but I do think you look at, you know, where he came from and what his younger basketball experience was, and not having college. He played 1 year with G League Ignite, and then when he came here, he didn't get to play a lot. And I know practice and individual work, and we can talk about that with Steve Kerr, the idea of development, because when you talk about development, like for me, a lot of the development falls on the player, because you can coach me all you want. If I don't go out there and do my own homework, you're a teacher, you know that. If you don't do your own work, then you're not going to develop unless you want to get better.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Steve Kerr is about to join us. So I'd get over to YouTube because, A, you get to see all of the Steve Kerr interview, but also, soon as Steve is done, let's do a little YouTube only right after Steve Kerr during a break. So we got that coming up around the bend as well. Steve Kerr joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.